This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report. Today's topic is the environment. Well, on the show today, we have a new planning minister and a new plan. How will that change Victoria? And looking wider than that, how is the climate changing? Who says so? What can we do about it? Will a carbon tax be any help? Lots of expertise to help us out today. We'll kick off with Victoria's Planning Minister Matthew Guy, who's been making news with decisions on marinas and wind farms and his move away from the high density inner urban plans of the previous administration. How will this change our city and state? Is it now open slather for developers? Is Melbourne going to spread still further? Then we'll take a look at the broader picture. Aaron Woods, Environmentalist of the Year 2007, and incidentally also a Clio Bachelor of the Year finalist, is launching Our Home, Our Planet, with simple, practical ways to reduce water and energy consumption at home and save money by using household cleaning products effectively. And if you join up and sign up to his initiative, he'll give some money to the Murray-Darling River restoration project. He isn't the only person trying to make a difference. Joe Chandler, Walkley award-winning senior age journalist, has been visiting Climate Science Frontier. She's been to Antarctica, the Barrier Reef, the Wimmera, and North Queensland's tropical rainforests, meeting the scientists working at the coalface, so to speak, and she's written a book about it. We'll hear about that later on too. And finally, Dr. Ben McNeil is a senior fellow, Climate Change Research Centre at University of New South Wales, and he writes in recently online in favour of a carbon tax under the headline, "It's the Economy, Stupid," and why we should embrace a carbon tax. And joining me in the studio to cast a no doubt sceptical eye over all this is Institute of Public Affairs Director and, regular absolutely everywhere, Tim Wilson. Good morning, Tim.
And now I get to be everywhere on your show too, Doug.
Well, it's a while since we've had you on.
I know, and I'm very happy to be back here in Bourke Street.
Yes, because you've been in the rarefied heights of the ABC, and even in television studios. You've actually sat next to Penny Wong, I believe.
Oh, that was a few years ago, but certainly, yes, Doug. I do get to do these things, but I always like coming home to Joy.
Ah, isn't that sweet? Well, you've been a regular here in the past. Let's hope you're going to be one in the future. And for all of you at home, you can join in with our conversations too. Here's how you do it.
You're listening to the Rainbow Report. Send us your thoughts. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or send your reports to 0427 569 949.
Well, Tim, let's start with you this morning while we wait for Matthew Guy to call in to us, because he's in a meeting at the moment and a little bit on the busy side. One of the reasons I wanted to do this program today is because the big issue everyone's talking about is this business of a carbon tax, emissions trading scheme, whatever else. But they don't seem to be very keen to sort of delve into it in any depth. I rang around half the Green Party, I think, trying to get someone from the Greens to talk to me. We might still manage to get someone later in the program, but why is everybody running scared about talking about this?
Well, I think it's because if you have an honest debate about it, and I mean, you know, going through the detail, and there are lots of things we do know. We don't know the price of a carbon tax, but we do know a lot about the design. Nobody actually wants to go on radio and say this tax goes up every year. The price of this tax may start at something around $20, but it needs to go up for the government to meet the bipartisan, I might add, bipartisan target to cut carbon emissions by 2020. The tax needs to go up to about $70 per tonne. And every time it goes up, of course, the cost flows through to consumers and to business. That's the whole point. And what we've seen this week when the Greens and Labor have tried to have a discussion about this, the Labor Party has understandably tried to say, oh, no, it's an insignificant tax. And the Greens said, well, if you need it to work, it needs to go higher. It needs to go higher quite quickly, and there's actually no real cap. We've done studies at the IPA saying if you wanted to switch to baseload power or near baseload power off solar, the price would be about $236 per tonne. And every time... No, these are based on credible numbers. No one's disputing them. And every time you compensate people, it undermines the effective price. You actually need to increase it further.
Well, this is...
This is one of these things that nobody wants to be talking about. This is what I don't understand,
because the whole idea, as far as I was aware, of bringing in a carbon tax was to make polluting activities more expensive, whether it was as a consumer or as a producer or whatever else. If you were doing something that was polluting, then you would have to pay more for it. And if you were doing something green, on the other hand, you would pay less for it. Now,
you wouldn't pay less, you just wouldn't have a penalty.
But you wouldn't have the penalty payment, right? Now, the way things have been designed at the moment is a little bit odd, because it seems like, on the one hand, you're going to compensate the people who are going to be doing the polluting because they can't afford it, and then you're going to compensate the people who are going to have to pay extra for the polluting activities because they can't afford it either. So it's not going to change anyone's behaviour, is it?
Well, there are dimensions. If you added a price, even with people being compensated, there would be some transition. But the problem is the government at this point is going to impose a price that's so low that it will penalise and make business very difficult without driving a transition to a low-carbon economy, which is their advocacy. But there's also a lot of underlying assumptions associated with a carbon tax and its economic efficiency. And basically, we have modelling done in the past which says the only way it can be efficient and that it doesn't have a massive harmful impact on the economy, which will remove the political support, I might add, to introduce such a scheme, is that we have international carbon trading and all of these sorts of assumptions, which are fairy tale. They're not real.
Yeah, because this is the other argument we keep getting is, we'll do it, but not me first. Somebody else has got to do this first. Other people have got to do it first. But if everybody takes that attitude, we'll never have any kind of carbon trading.
Well, that is one argument that is put out there, but the other dimension is the cost of it is only sort of efficient in terms of driving the change in the economy without unnecessarily hurting our economy and innovation if everybody else adopts a similar pricing structure. And that's a big assumption that doesn't exist. So even if someone doesn't take the first step and we all act together, the economic modelling based on it requires international cooperation. And that doesn't require anyone to go before anybody else. It requires cooperation.
Which you're never going to get.
Well, but that's a serious problem.
You couldn't get it at Copenhagen. You couldn't get it anywhere. No, look.
Yeah.
The British government have decided they're not going to wait for everybody else. They've set a target of cutting by 50%. Why can't we do that?
Well, we could if we were prepared to talk, firstly, honestly about the issue. Secondly, we're prepared to look at all different solutions. You can't have a proper discussion about how to drive transformation from burning fuels and the emissions associated with that when you exclude something like nuclear power. The Brits aren't prepared to include
that. That's a hot potato.
It's a hot topic, but again, I said it's about having an honest discussion, and nuclear power needs to be on the table, need to have an honest discussion about price, both in terms of where you can drive transition, but also the price at which it would cut in to move towards a low carbon economy.
It's all very
difficult. It's complex.
It's all very complex. And we don't. The other problem we have is that we don't have a very strong government that is able to take bold steps because they don't have a majority.
That's right. And the other problem we have on an international basis is if you had every country in the world having a carbon price in the way that's being proposed, Australia would actually be just about the last country on earth that you would actually try and cut emissions, because you'd always try and buy cheaper ways to do it elsewhere, because one of the things, our comparative advantage, what we're good at doing, is burning fossil fuels to drive our economy, and that's particularly the case if you take out of the situation nuclear power.
Well, I can see the nuclear industry is probably paying part of your salary.
No, it's
all right. That was a bit below the belt. I didn't really mean that.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.